I'd like you to turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 11, and I'd like to read three verses from the end of that chapter, verses 28, 29, and 30. And these are the verses that I'd like to present to you this morning. Maybe Alan and Anwyn particularly find the thought of rest helpful. Well, I'm not going to speak so much about physical rest, but about spiritual rest. When you're young parents and you have difficult nights, you don't get much sleep, when the baby's crying or there's too many nappies, well, sometimes you just long to have rest, don't you? And these verses speak of rest, but not physical rest. They speak of a rest in God, a contentment in God, peace with God. So I'd like to read this invitation that the Lord Jesus gave to crowds of people. He said this: "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I wonder if you're ever troubled by your conscience. I wonder if you feel at times so bad about yourself that you can't even face other people. I wonder if you experience heaviness of heart because you're not living as you ought to live. You're not pleasing God. You're pleasing yourself. I wonder if you've hurt somebody badly and you're failing to come to terms with it. You feel very depressed because of the way in which you've acted. Maybe you've been impatient. Maybe there's been a sharp word. Maybe you've given very wounding, painful words and you feel really bad about it. You feel low. Maybe you feel heavy-hearted because you know that you're not living for the right things. You're living for pleasure. You're living for wealth. You're living for yourself. And you know you're not living for God. And there's a huge emptiness in your life, a great void. And with that void goes an aching heart. You're finding life difficult because of yourself. With the Lord Jesus, he understood people. He understood the heart. He understood the soul. And he gives a great invitation here. He says, come to me. He doesn't say come to religion. He doesn't say come to church. He doesn't say come to the synagogue. He says, come to me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus was so approachable. The people who seemed to be dirty in society, those who were the outcasts of society, they found Jesus so approachable. They came to him. They came with tears often, confessing their sins. Jesus was eat in their homes because he was gentle. They didn't feel as if they were in the presence of one who would condemn them, but one who understood their greatest need. He was gentle and lowly of heart. He was humble, and he promised rest for their souls. Well, this morning, we're going to consider this wonderful invitation. We're going to consider three things. An invitation to rest by coming. If you don't come, you'll never know that rest. An invitation to rest by coming. But then secondly, an invitation to rest by learning. And then thirdly, an invitation like no other. Now think for a moment, who is speaking? Who is giving this invitation? Yes, it's Jesus of Nazareth. One who is fully man. One who grew up as a little child, once he was a little baby. Once he was taken to the temple in Jerusalem to be dedicated. He knew many tears. He grew up in a normal home. But he was the very Son of God. He was the Prince of Heaven. He not only had a human nature, but he had a divine nature. He was born in a different way to any other human being in that he was born of a virgin. He was without sin. This is the one who came into a world that was riddled with sin. He came into a world which was broken and crushed. A world that was bruised. A world that had an awful lot of religion in it. But men and women and boys and girls who had no peace with God. And he gave many invitations. He would stand up in a feast. We read on that last day, that great day of the feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, there in Jerusalem, on the very last day of the feast, he stood up and he said, "Come to me. All you who thirst, come." Yes, there would have been much festivities over several days in Jerusalem. Men and women came. They built their little shelters, their little tents. They used palm branches and there they slept out in the open air. There was much joy, there was much singing on that occasion. Many hymns were sung in the temple. Families were gathered there. Aunties and uncles, grandma and granddad, children, cousins, everybody was in Jerusalem. And yet, Jesus knew, despite all these festivities and all this seeming joy, there was an aching void in many people's hearts. Many people were thirsting after reality. And so he cried out, "If any man thirst, let him come to me." Jesus gave wonderful, gracious invitations. You see, he came to a society that was full of religion, but a religion that placed heavy burdens upon people. Turn over to Matthew 23 and verse 4, and look what Jesus says of the Pharisees and the scribes, the leaders of the people. He says this, verse 4, "They bind heavy burdens, hard to bear upon the people, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their little fingers." In other words, Jesus saw these religious authorities laying rule upon rule upon the people, rules that they could not keep. And they didn't help with their little finger. They didn't do anything to help these people. They were just amassing laws, man-made rules upon people. And many as a result were bound with a sense of tremendous heaviness. We can't do it. Jesus pitied such people. He realized that there was many discussions about him. There was much gossip going on. If you turn back to chapter 11 and verse 19, think of what these religious people were saying of him. They said, "Look, Jesus, the Son of Man, came eating and drinking." And they say, "Look, a glutton and a winebibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." Of course he was a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But he wasn't a drunkard. He wasn't a winebibber. He wasn't a glutton. He didn't feed himself to the full all the time like that. That wasn't him. There were many false representations about the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. Many lies, much gossip and slander. He knew that many people purely followed him because of the miracles. In verse 21, he has to say, "Woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida." He says to these cities, "I perform many miracles, and yet you do not believe in me." Capernaum, verse 23, "Woe to you. You're exalted to heaven, you've become proud. You'll be brought down to Hades." Jesus was in a hostile environment. He performed many miracles, but people still didn't believe. He said to these cities, "It will be worse for you on the day of judgment than when God judged Sodom and Gomorrah." He also gloried in the sovereignty of God. Verse 25. He thanked God, his Father, that his father had hidden truth from the wise and the prudent, the religious people, the proud people. Pearls weren't going to be cast before swine. Jesus was teaching parables that they would not understand. Truth will be hidden from these proud people, but it will be revealed to babes, those who hungered and thirsted after righteousness. He gloried in that. Now, if you were living in a situation of much oppression, much speaking against your person, much false religion, much hypocrisy, many people with masks, how would you react? Would you want to run away from that situation? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the midst of all this rejection and pain, he still gives wonderful, glorious invitations. Whoever you are, come to me, all you who labor. Whoever is in this situation where they know that their soul is not right with God, they know that they're sinners, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So if Jesus sees what others cannot see, Jesus sees into your heart this morning. He knows your thoughts. He knows about your conscience. He knows everything about you. And he gives such gracious, wonderful invitations. If you're a needy, broken, crushed person, he would say, come to me. I will bear your sin upon the cross. He took our sins to the cross. I will take your punishment in your place, that punishment that you deserve for your sins. I will forgive you. Come to me. Jesus looks down. He sees everything that happens in our society. He sees the ice skating in Cardiff. He sees people at night outs at the theatre. He sees people going to the cinema. He sees people having lovely holidays. He sees people eating in restaurants. He sees people going to great sporting events. And he sees the aching void in the soul of man. He knows that nothing but God and his presence and forgiveness can fill that void. Think of our society. We have so much, don't we? Did you know that if there are 100 people in the world, you and I would be the top one in terms of salary? Did you know that? We have everything in our society. Of course there are food banks. Of course there are difficulties. I'm not speaking that there aren't, but we have so much, don't we? And yet, what do we see in our society? We see dysfunctional families. We see pain. We see rejection. We see conflict. Did you know that 8.2 million people in the UK suffer with anxiety issues? That's 1 in 8 people. Jesus sees that. Did you know that suicide rates in Wales are on the up? The last time they counted, they discovered that suicide rates in Wales had risen by 23%, and 78% of those were men. Did you know that 20% of adolescents suffer with mental health issues? Did you know that depression is on the increase amongst those who are over 65, affecting 22% of all men and 28% of all women in the UK today? Jesus knows the anxiety and the pain that people go through. Think of the amount of abuse that's going on. Think of the neglect. Think of the blame culture, what that does. Everybody's has to watch their back, lest they are blamed. Think of a society without limits, without boundaries, and what that has done, the chaos of relationships today. Jesus sees the huge burdens as a result of sin, and he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Is that wonderful? You can see him, can't you, standing there so tranquil. You can almost see that calm smile upon his face, and he's beckoning people. He's saying, come to me, and I will give you rest. Don't try out mindfulness. Don't think about the power of positive thinking. Don't go on some course to reform your life. But come to me, and I will give you rest. There's no one else that can make such a promise, is there? No one else that can deal with the soul of men and women. Only the Son of God could do this. But you must confess your sin. You must recognize your need of him. And you must actually come to him. It's a lovely hymn, isn't there? I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. Has that happened to you? Have you come to the Lord Jesus? He invites you to come this morning. Well, who can come? Can you be too bad that you can't come? Can you say, I've blown it? If you only knew what it was like, Jesus would never accept me. Well, think of the people in the Bible who came to Jesus. One woman, she was on a sixth relationship, a Samaritan woman. She found peace and rest. Another woman was known to be immoral. Simon the Pharisee looked on her with disdain. How dare she come into my house, he thought. But she came. And she wept at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Her tears fell upon the feet of Jesus in her grief. And he said to her, go in peace. Another man, he turned his back upon his friends and upon society. He became a swindler, become a cheat. But he came to Jesus. He had to do it going up a tree. But he came to Jesus. And all who come, he will not cast out. He says, he who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. Have you come to the Lord Jesus? If you come, he will forgive you. If you come, he will cleanse you. If you come, he will satisfy you. If you come, he will clothe you in his own righteousness. Come to the Lord Jesus and find rest for your soul and find peace. So an invitation to come. An invitation to rest by coming. And then secondly, an invitation to rest by learning. We get this in verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Now you cannot learn from Christ and experience this rest unless you first come to him. You must simply come first. And once you've come, then you come into his school and then you learn. That's the order. Coming to a person first. It's not about coming to church. It's not coming to a creed, although a creed is essential. It's not about being good or turning over a new leaf. You come to Jesus as you are. It's lovely, isn't it? Isaiah 55, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Prophet Isaiah is saying, don't come trying to pay God something. Come with empty hands and come and experience his goodness and his love. Come as you are. Come to Jesus. And then having done that, then take his yoke upon you. Now the Jews understood what a yoke was. They understood it in terms of a religious yoke. Coming under the yoke of a teacher. Following his example and his teaching. And Jesus is saying, when you come to me, you come into my school. And when you come to me, you come under my authority. And when you come to me, you come to learn and to be taught and to be guided for the rest of your life. You come to take up your cross and to follow me. You take my yoke upon you. Now a yoke, we know what it was, don't we? It was a wooden frame on the neck of two animals that went between two oxen, that they would plough together, work together in tandem and in harmony. There would be no struggle. They would work well. The field would be ploughed because the yoke was upon the two oxen. And so Jesus is saying here, coming into my school is coming into my service. And you're never to see my service as hardship. In fact, you're to see my service as your delight. My commandments, they are not burdensome. In fact, they will be your joy. My service will not be hard rigor. I will be alongside you. We will be in tandem. And in fact, I will bear the heavier parts. Look at verse 30. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. When you become a Christian, it's never just making a decision and coming forward. The rich young man came forward to the front of a church and knelt before the Lord Jesus and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Of course, it wasn't in a church. But he came forward. But he was never saved. He turned his back on the Lord Jesus because he wasn't prepared to take the yoke. He wasn't concerned about discipleship and the cost of following Christ. He who comes to Christ then follows him also. There's much to learn, isn't there? When you come to Jesus, you suddenly learn about who God is. You understand the greatness and the power of God. There's more to learn about him in all of his character. There's so much to learn in his word. So much truth to teach your life and to guide you. There's so much to learn in his school. And you learn not only by reading the Bible. You learn by putting it into practice. That's how you learn. You learn in his service. As you obey him, you are learning more and more of him. Spurgeon, he refers to this little verse as rest in motion. He says you'll know rest as you act, as you serve, as you take that yoke upon you. And then lastly, we thought of an invitation to rest by coming. Then secondly, an invitation to rest by learning. But let's think lastly, this is an invitation like no other. No religious leader ever gave an invitation like this. No man ever stood before others and said, "I can give you rest and peace with God. I can take your sins and bear them to the cross. I can deal with your deepest need. I can give you fellowship with God. I can keep you. You will work with me and I will never leave you nor forsake you." And none was so gentle and tender as the Lord Jesus. That's what's so attractive about these verses, isn't it? It's not just an authority figure calling you to himself. It's one who is meek, one who is gentle, one who is lowly. We just turn over into the next chapter, chapter 12 and verse 20. Look what he says. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench. You who have little faith, you who feel that your faith is going to go out, you who feel that you're just like a smoking little flax, well, he'll fan you into a flame. He won't snuff out that little flame of faith that you have. Fan it into a fire. That's the Lord Jesus. You who feel very broken by this world, you're like just a reed, so vulnerable in the wind. He will not break. He will not snap off that bruised reed. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord Jesus Christ is a tender Saviour. Think of him with a woman who was caught in adultery. There she was, caught red-handed, and her conscience was accusing her like mad. Those who stood before her have committed adultery 1,000 times over in their minds, and Jesus knew it. And he said, "He who is without sin, let him cast the first stone." And then he says to this woman, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Isn't that wonderful? He's one who forgives sinners who come to him. He saw a repentant heart. Don't sin anymore. But I don't condemn you. Think of him with Simon Peter, how tender he was to Simon Peter. Simon Peter said, I feel my sin. Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. And Jesus said, no, you'll be a fisher of men. At that very time when he said, Lord Jesus, I feel so bad about myself, the Lord Jesus said, no, you're coming into my school. You're going to be a fisher of men. Think of the thief on the cross. All he could say was, remember me when you come into your kingdom. We've done so much wrong. But Jesus said to him so tenderly, today you will be with me in paradise. What a wonderful Saviour we have. Wonder, do you feel something of the desires of the Lord Jesus when he says, come to me? His strong desires. Chorazin may have rejected me. Bethsaida may have rejected me. Capernaum may have rejected me. The scribes and the Pharisees may have rejected me. But I have such a strong desire for all who labour and are heavy laden that they will come to me. What a wonderful Saviour is the Lord Jesus. Look at Isaiah 55, verse 6. We know these verses so well. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Jesus was near. He was calling to them. Those who rejected him, it would be awful for them to reject the very Son of God. But now was their opportunity. And you here this morning who've come, who doesn't know God. You have come to this building for a dedication service, but you don't know Jesus Christ. Now's your moment. While he is near, seek him. Seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. May that be the experience of maybe one or two this morning, that you've known God abundantly pardoning all your sin because you've come to him sincerely. Amen.